following audio is from the Lifeway Church. For more information about the Lifeway, please visit our website at www.thelifeway.org.
It's great to have each and every one of you here with us. We'd also like to welcome all those who are listening to our message online later today. Why don't we give them a great hand and welcome them this morning. Today we are in week three of a four-part series entitled, You Asked For It. You Asked For It. Come on, turn to your neighbor and say, You Asked For It. All right, one of my goals as I teach each Sunday is to bring something from Scripture that is relevant and applicable to your life. So what we did is this Easter, we passed out a survey and we asked you to share what subjects you would like to hear about. And so each week I've been teaching on one of the four most requested topics. Next week we're going to wrap up this series by talking about how to know the will of God. Today though, we're going to answer the question, how do I handle stress? What do I do about the stress that I feel? And in 2015, 21 Pilots released a song entitled Stressed Out that won a Grammy Award. How many of you are familiar with that song, 21 Pilots, Stressed Out? All right, the lyrics of the song, they center around the writer reminiscing about the simpler days of their childhood. Can anybody here relate? You ever just wonder back, man, those simpler days when everything was just so easy? And we think back to those days and we just look at them with fondness. And so why do we do this? Why do we look at the simpler days? And I think one of the big reasons we do this is because we're stressed. We're stressed out. How many of you here this morning are stressed? Let me see your hands. Come on, anybody here stressed out? I want to help you out. Let me see your hands here. Yeah, anybody here stressed out? Woo! Yeah. I'm going to help you a little bit. Deb's stressed out here. Come on, is anybody stressed out? Way back there. I can't throw it that far. All right, anybody here? Leanna's stressed. Let me see. All right, well, I didn't make it there. Right, so the good old days, right? How many of you like to go back to those times where you didn't have to be stressed out? Come on, clap your hands this morning. We like to have fun in church, so I'm sorry if this is your first time and you're here, like, what in the world's going on? We like to have a good time. Please don't throw those back at me during the message. I guess I have to preach good. Some of you here are probably stressed out because I played that song in church, and you're going to have a nasty, you know, email to me later. We'll talk after church. Make sure you see me about 2:30. I'll be here to meet with you, all right? Just kidding. All right. Someone once said, if stress burned calories, I'd be a supermodel. Another person said, my doctor told me to start killing people. Well, not in those exact words. He said I had to reduce the stress in my life, so same thing. A boy asked his mother, Mom, what stress? And so she proceeded to lock him in a room with high-speed internet and 1% battery life on his tablet. Another person said, my doctor asked if I had ever had a stress test, and I told him, yes, it's called life in children. As a society, we are stressed out. There have been many studies done on stress and its effect on our lives. In fact, one study revealed that 44% of Americans have more stress than they did even 5 years ago. Another study indicated that one out of five people are actually in what they consider extreme stress, meaning that it's gotten so bad that it has literally begun to take a physical toll on their body. In fact, doctors have done some research, and doctors actually believe that 60% of illness is rooted in having continuous elevated stress levels. And while the data shows us that stress is making us unhealthy and making us unproductive, 83% of people do absolutely nothing about it. And so this morning, we all have probably numerous sources of stress in our lives, and what I want to comfort you with is that Jesus promised us that it was going to come. You know, some people think that when they come into a church and they raise their hand and they begin the discipleship journey and that process of following Jesus Christ, that once they say yes to Jesus, that nothing will ever go wrong. But God actually never said that. In fact, he promised the very opposite. Jesus said in John 16:33, he said, "I have told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Here on me you will have many." Everybody say many. "You will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart because I have overcome the world." God has never intended to remove the trouble from your life, but rather to give you a hope and to give you a peace in the midst of tough times. Psalms 34:19 says it this way: "The righteous person faces," there's the word again, many troubles, but the Lord comes to the rescue each time. So if you're sitting here this morning and you're thinking, "Hey, God, what's up? You know, I'm praying. I've read my Bible. I'm a good person. Why am I facing all of these difficulties and all of these struggles?" Listen, that's bad theology. It doesn't really work that way. The purpose of our spiritual disciplines aren't to remove the difficulty from our lives, but instead they are to align ourselves to Jesus Christ in order for him to help us navigate through these tough seasons. Being in love with Jesus doesn't take the thing away, whatever the thing of the stress is, but rather it gives you the capacity in the midst of the thing to stand strong. And so the word trouble that we find in this verse in Psalms 34 is from the Hebrew word that at a deeper meaning actually refers to an Assyrian form of torture. And what they would do is in this form of torture, there would be a post and they would tie the person against the post. And then one by one, they would begin to pile rocks around their feet and they would build a pile up around them and on top of them till the point that their body could no longer contain the pressure and the rocks would literally crush them and kill them. And some of you in this room, you came to church and you walked in this morning and that's exactly how you feel. In fact, you might even be thinking, if one more thing happens to me, if they put one more rock on me, if one more obstacle comes in my life, I can't cope. I can't go on. And so if you find yourself in that position this morning, know that my heart goes out to you. I've been praying for you all week. I believe that this message this morning can help you. I want to make sure that you leave here with some promises and some principles from God's word that can change your life and help you manage the stress that you feel. Psalm 62, starting in verse 5, it says, "Let all that I am wait quietly before God, for my hope is in him. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress where I will not be shaken. My victory and honor come from God alone. He is a refuge, a rock where no enemy can reach me. Oh, my people, trust in him at all times. Pour out your heart to him, for God is our refuge." And then there's this word, interlude. You'll find this word in other translations. It's written as the word Selah. You actually find it 77 times in the book of Psalms. It's actually a musical term, and you may not know this, but the book of Psalms is actually a collection of songs that they used to sing. And so what happens is as you're singing through these verses that I just read, you get to this place and you just pause. You let the band play. You just stop and you just think on the words that you just began to sing. And I'm so glad this morning that you're here today, because I think that every single week this building, this auditorium, this church offers a place of refuge. A refuge from all of the confusion and all the pains and the constant bombardment that comes against us that we face in this world. You can walk into a place like this and just have an interlude. You can have a selah. You can have a place where you can just pause and you can redirect your thoughts into the right way. And I believe that there's a place in the middle of your stress that you can go to find rest for your soul. The next part of this passage gives us two places to look for that rest. Starting in verse 9, it says, "Common people are as worthless as a puff of wind." Well, what's that meaning? Basically, it means that they're just here and then they're gone. Our lives are short. It says, and the powerful are not what they appear. In other words, the people that you think are happy because of all of their earthly success are probably more miserable than you are. Just think for a moment of all the famous people who had everything that money could buy. They had fame, they had success, they had fortune, but it still was not enough. And the scripture says, if you weigh them on the scales, together they are lighter than a breath of air. In other words, both groups of people, the common, the famous, have the same condition, and that condition is that our time is short. And then very strangely, the very next verse, it's like he changes almost 180 degrees and goes into a completely different topic. And he says, don't make your living by extortion or put your hope in stealing. And if your wealth increases, don't make it the center of your life. In other words, I want to focus on the second half of that verse. Don't fall in love with money. Don't think that that's all that you need to make you happy and to take your stress away. And so in this passage, the psalmist deals with two of the main culprits of stress in our lives. The third one is relationships, and every year we do an entire series on relationships, so I'm not going to hit that in this message today, but the other two main culprits of stress are what we're going to talk about here this morning. And so the first cause of stress is this issue of our life being weighed. Your life is a breath. It's here and it's gone. And so I want you to write this word down in your sermon outline. There's some fill in the blanks that you can follow along with us. But for many of us, most of our stress comes from our use or our misuse of time. Of time. If we want to overcome stress, somehow we're going to have to get a grasp on how we're spending our time. I want to let some of you know, I've talked to some of you, I've seen some of your schedules. You simply cannot do everything that you're currently doing and not be stressed. It is impossible. And so we need to come to the place where we figure out what our life is really about and focus our time on those things. I want to promise you, if you don't get this time issue figured out, you're going to burn out. How many of you have ever gone through a season where you just felt like you were burned out? A lot of times it's because we don't get our time managed. In the book of Daniel chapter 5, there's a story that's known as the story of the handwriting on the wall. It's actually where we derive that saying from today. You know, I could see the handwriting on the wall. It actually comes from this story. And in this story, this king, the central figure, his life is simply out of control. And this big hand just appears right in the middle of this massive party. And this hand just begins writing and inscribing on the wall. Now, I don't know about your parties, but that would stop my party in a hurry. And the inscription said, Mene Tekel Parasin. And no one could translate what these three words meant except for Daniel. And so Daniel interprets the meaning of the words in verse 26. It says, this is what these words mean. Mene means numbered. God has numbered the days of your reign and has brought it to an end. Verse 27, Tekel means weighed. You have been weighed on the balances and you have not measured up. See the similarities to what we read in Psalm 62. Your life has been weighed and it doesn't make sense. It doesn't add up. And then verse 28, Parson means divided. Your kingdom has been divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. In other words, what this prophecy was saying to this king was your days are numbered because your life is out of balance. And if you don't do something about it, it's going to cost you something. And I want to let you know this morning, the same holds true for us today. Each and every one of us in this room, our days are numbered. And when you look at it in totality, honestly, that we don't have many days as we think left. In fact, if we were brave enough to ask those who are closest to us, most of us would hear that our life is out of order. And if we don't make some adjustments, if we don't make some course adjustments, it's going to end up costing us something. Maybe it'll cost you your marriage. Maybe your relationship with your children. Maybe it will cost you your career. And so I believe the reason that God has allowed you to be here this morning is to hear a prophetic warning from God so that if necessary, you can make some course adjustments. In fact, this is something I encourage you to regularly look at. Look at your schedule. Look at your life. Look at how much you're trying to fit in and how much you're trying to put in, and ask yourself, is this right? Is my life in balance, or is it out of balance? And if it's not, I encourage you to make the necessary steps. And then in verse 10 of Psalm 62, it speaks of this second major culprit of the stress we face in life. Write this down. It's the next blank. It talks about money. Everybody say money. All right, that usually gets a good response. It talks about our riches. How many of you would agree here that money can be a huge part of the stress that you face in your life? I think almost all of us could probably agree to that. It's a great thing for us to regularly look and examine our money, how we're spending it, how we're taking care of it, where we're putting it. Is it going to the wrong places? Because when we make poor decisions with our finances, our world quickly begins to unravel and falls apart if we ignore it for too long. The apostle said in 1 Timothy 6:6, he says, "Yet true godliness with contentment is itself great wealth." So we need to look at our lives to make sure that we're not letting greed and the desire for more rule us. We're bombarded in our society with this unending messages urging us to spend more and get more and get this and get that. And, you know, wasn't too long ago that a 32-inch flat screen TV was a massive thing. Well, now it's 70 and now it's 80, and pretty soon they're going to have to bring a semi to your house to load the TV in to get it on your wall. Don't fall into that trap. Verse 7, after all, we brought nothing with us when we came into the world, and we can't take anything with us when we leave it. Listen, there will not be a U-Haul behind the hearse leading the processional to your burial plots. We can't take it with us. Verse 8, so if we have enough food, if we have enough clothing, let us be content. In other words, we need to simplify our lives, and all of our pursuits have just made life so much more complicated. Verse 9, but people who long to be rich fall into temptation and are trapped by many foolish and harmful desires that plunge them into ruin and destruction. Verse 10, for the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Let's just put our word into that verse. It's also the root of all kinds of stress. Money is typically the number one fight in a family. Money is the leading cause of divorce in America. It says some people craving money have wandered from the true faith and pierced themselves with many sorrows. So I'm encouraging you to do whatever it takes to put this area of life back in order. So what do we do with all of this stress? There are so many practical things, but what I wanted to do is I wanted to share with you this overarching principle. In Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16, the prophet says, "This is what the Lord says." And so I want you to listen to this verse with that in mind. It's not just words simply in a book or something that Andrew is saying on the stage. It's what God says. This is what the Lord says. Stop at the crossroads and look around. In other words, right now, all of us are at an intersection in our lives. In the area of our time, in the area of our money, in the area of our relationships, many of us are at crossroads in these places. And you can choose to keep going down that road you're on, or you can choose to pause, course direct, and get off that road. Going on, it says, ask for the old godly way and walk in it. In other words, go back to some good old-fashioned biblical and godly principles. Why? Because I want to let you know that there's all kinds of newfangled things out here, but God's way works. It stood the test of time. It says, travel its path and you will find rest for your souls. For some of us, it's been so long that we've had rest in our soul, we can't even remember what it's like to live a life where we have rest in our souls. We're stressed and we're tired and we're wore out. And so when it comes to how we should spend our time and how we should spend our money, honestly, there is no one-size-fits-all solution because all of us are at different parts in our journey. Some of us have young kids. Some of us have kids that are in college. Some of us are getting ready to retire and kind of everything sort of in between. And so what I want to do is I want to give you some principles that'll help you regardless of where you find yourself in life's journey. But here's my promise to you. If you figure these three areas out, your stress level is going to go down. And so here's the first principle as this. The key to spending your time, the key to spending your money, the key to making your relationships right. Number one is to live with a sense of purpose and urgency. We must live with a sense of purpose and urgency. One of the best ways for you to know what to do is to define what your life is all about. Because when I know what my life is about, it makes it easy to say yes to certain things and no to other things. You know, the way I'm making time and money decisions based on, you know, I start making these decisions based on, does this contribute to my purpose? Does this contribute to my life or not? Because if my life is but a breath, if it's just a vapor, if it's here today and gone tomorrow, I only have a limited amount of days to finish what God has called me to do. And so I ask this question, why not live our lives as intentionally as we possibly can towards God's purpose for us? And you might be sitting here this morning and you might be thinking, well, you know, Andrew, that sounds nice, but I don't even know what my purpose is. I know I get up and I go to work on Monday and, you know, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, I get excited because Friday's coming and Saturday, and then I, you know, Sunday I'm at church, but then I get depressed Sunday afternoon because I got to go back to work and the whole thing starts over and over again. I don't know what my purpose is. And I believe that one of the greatest gifts that the Lifeway Church brings to people is a pathway to help you discover this purpose. In fact, our mission as a church can be found everywhere. We put it on our screens and on our walls. It's in our service guide. It's in our videos. And they are simply to help people know God, to help people find freedom. Number three, discover their purpose. And then finally, number four, once you discover that purpose, puts you on a path to making a difference in the world. Every single Sunday, you hear about the growth track in our plug announcement video. And our growth track is designed to help you discover why you're on this planet. And so today, we're starting week one of our growth track. And so if you've not done growth track, I encourage you to get on the journey and go on the journey with us. Listen, you cannot make wise decisions about your time and about your money if you don't know why you're here. Discovering your purpose is really a liberating thing because it allows you to begin to eliminate the non-essentials in life. You can say to people, you know, I'm sorry, it sounds like a great thing, but I can't do that or I can't spend my money on that because it doesn't contribute to what God has called me to do. This is something actually in my own life that I'm navigating through and I'm working through right now. I don't have it all figured out, how to be a good husband and to be a good father and work at a job that I absolutely love, but one where, quite honestly, the work is never finished. The work never ends. And so one of the areas that I'm working to do is I'm trying to work on limiting the things that I do that run late into the evening on Saturdays. In fact, last week Saturday, they say confession's good for the soul, I'm going to tell on myself. Last week Saturday, one of the things that I do for exercise and as a hobby is I play ice hockey. And so they had two late Saturday games. I skipped the first one, but I'm like, you know what, I don't want to miss two games in a row. So I went to a game, and man, the game went so long. When I got home, it was almost midnight. I was so wound up. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Like, you're just bouncing off the walls. I think I slept like an hour last Saturday night before church. And so, you know, I've already decided I can't play another game that starts that late on Saturday again. Why? Is there anything wrong with the game? No, there's nothing wrong with that, but it's because whatever I do on Saturday affects how I am on Sunday. And as important as exercise and having a hobby are to me, late night Saturday hockey is not my purpose. I'm not getting called up to the NHL to play for Nashville this week, all right? Sunday is my purpose. And I love what God has designed for me to do. And so once you discover why you're on the planet, then you're going to know what to say yes to and what to say no to. And I want everybody in this room to hear this morning. In some capacity, each and every single one of us, we have been called to be ministers. And once you discover this fact and start living your life with this fact in mind, it will change everything in your life. When you start getting involved in something that's bigger than yourself, when you start helping others, especially when you serve in environments where people are making decisions that affect eternity, I promise you what will happen is your stress level will begin to go down because now you're living what your life is supposed to be about. In Psalms 39, chapter 39, verse 4, there's a great prayer. I encourage you to pray this prayer. It says, Lord, remind me how brief my time on earth will be. Remind me, God, that my days are numbered. Remind me how fleeting my life is. You have made my life no longer than the width of a hand. My entire lifetime is just a moment to you. At best, each of us is but a breath. The psalmist was praying, Lord, help me live with a sense of purpose. Help me live my life with a sense of urgency. There's this little parable found in Matthew 13. It really speaks to our finances and our time both as well. And Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure that a man discovered hidden in a field. And I believe that there's something out there for each and every one of us to find that is a treasure. And I think that the treasure actually is your purpose. It's the reason why God created you. And in his excitement, he hid it again and he sold everything he owned to get enough money to buy the field. In other words, he decided, I'm going to sell everything. I'm going to give everything up. I'm going to put it all aside and I'm going to live the rest of my life pursuing that. Listen, the field that we should be giving our life to are things that last forever. I want you to trust me on this. I've had the opportunity to sit at people's bedsides moments before they passed away, and at the end of your life, you're not going to wish that you had a bigger TV. You're not going to wish that you had a better car. You're not going to wish that your car had air conditioning and heated seats and all that kind of stuff. At the end of your life, you're going to wish that you did things that made a difference in eternity. Principle number one. Here's the second principle to help you determine what to do with your time and money. Number two, put first things first. First things first. In our society, we are surrounded by a ton of options, tons of entertainment choices, tons of opportunities, and can I just be honest, way too much social media. And I don't mind all of that stuff, but my goal is to put God and my wife and my family and my calling first. And if any of that other stuff fits in, then great, it's just icing on the cake. In Psalms chapter 90, verse 12, it says, teach us to number our days. You hear this phrase over and over and over in all these scriptures. And recognize how few they are. Help us to spend them as we should. So how do we spend our days? I think Jesus answered that question in Matthew chapter 6, 33. He said, seek the kingdom of God above all else. What would Jesus say that you're investing in today? Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. It's a great principle here. If you seek him first, everything else falls into proper place. Our family has determined to put God first in our finances. One of the best decisions that you will ever make is to put God first in your finances. When you make that decision, your life will be blessed. When you discipline yourself to wake up a little bit earlier in the morning so you can have a time of devotion and pray and do our soap journaling, if you put God first in your time, you'll be amazed at how everything else just begins to settle itself. How your stress begins to go down. So I encourage you to live a life with a sense of urgency. Number two, put first things first. And here's the last principle to help you avoid stress. Number three is keep my heart set on heaven. Keep my heart set on heaven. Even after all the practical things, even after those first two things, it's essential that in our lives we lower our expectations of earth. Unfortunately, many of us in this room, we have bought into an Americanized, can I just say, false gospel that says that we can have everything here on earth that heaven has to offer. And so we pursue heaven while we're sitting here being on earth, trying to think that we can make earth heaven. And because of God's grace in this room, we all live very good lives, but understand that earth was never intended to be heaven. And so if you have the expectation as a Christian that everything here is going to be smooth sailing, and can I tell you, you're going to stay stressed out. When somebody important in your life passes away, it's going to drive you crazy. Why? Because you want them here. But if you instead live with heaven as your perspective and you understand eternity, instead you're going to say, while it hurts, one day I'm going to be meeting them up there. I've been to third world countries and I've watched kids play with sticks the entire day in a packed down dirt yard, happier than any kid in North America with all of their Wi-Fi and digital devices. I've watched people in Nigeria in a church made of four posts, no walls, and a corrugated metal roof in the middle of a nasty, dirty field dance and rejoice and cry out to God with smiles on their faces from ear to ear. Why? Because they don't have their home in the wrong place. They realize that this here, this earth that we're walking on is just temporary. The generation that went through the Great Depression in the 1920s, they would come to church, and it was actually in the late 20s that the famous hymnal, they would sing songs. It was actually penned in 1929. Some glad morning, when this life is over, I am going to fly away. When I was younger, I used to call that the suicide song, because if you know the song, it's kind of happy and people are clapping. You know, who says some glad morning when this life is over? But what I didn't realize at that age was that they understood that no matter the difficulties, no matter the situations, no matter the struggles, this earth is not my home. So are you stressed this morning? That's why Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4:16, therefore we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us, listen to this, an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So how do we not lose heart? Very next verse, 18. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. In fact, as Jesus walked the earth, he taught his disciples the very same thing. He told them in John 14, 1 and 2, he says, don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and trust also in me. And I want you to notice where Jesus takes this conversation. He didn't tell them that, hey, everything's going to be great here on earth. Everything's going to be easy. No, in fact, almost every single one of the disciples was killed for their belief in Jesus Christ. They were martyrs. But instead, he comforts them with verse 2. He says, there is more than enough room in my Father's home. If this were not so, would I have told you that I am going to prepare a place for you? God is preparing a place for those who love him, for those who've made a decision to follow him. And I simply cannot finish this message and leave you with the expectation that if you get your time and your relationships and your money in perfect order, that there will never be any stress. Because guess what? Difficult things are going to come. Trials are going to come. And I'm so sorry to tell you that. But guess what? You can still have an ultimate joy. Why is that? It's because at the end of the day, Jesus offers more than a better now. He offers us a better place. He offers us a better future. And so the most important decision that you will ever make today is, are you ready to go to that place? Are you ready to make heaven your home? with every head bowed and every eye closed, I want you to ask God right now, God, what are you trying to speak to me? What are the areas of my life that are out of focus? Well, what are the areas of my life that are causing me the stress that I just need to move on? For some of you, today is going to be an opportunity to get your time in order. You need to go home today and just start looking at your hectic schedule and just begin to reorder. In fact, some of you need to eliminate some things. Some of you need to simplify your finances. You need to get on a budget. Others need to stop trying to do everything for everyone. Maybe you need some help. Maybe you need to get into a life group. But I encourage you to go ahead and make some decisions. But the most important decision that you'll ever make is the decision that one day I get to leave this earth and I have an opportunity to be with Jesus. And so let me ask you this question, are you ready? If the Lord came back today, are you ready to meet him? And if you're not, you don't need to join this church. That's not a part of the deal. We'd love for you to become a part of our family, but salvation has nothing to do with becoming a member of a church. Salvation is the moment where you surrender the control of your life over to Jesus Christ. It's the moment where you say, Lord Jesus, take my life. I'm going to refuse to go my own way. I'm going to live my life for you. So if you're prepared to do that, you can begin this journey. You can begin that process right where you're seated this morning. In a moment, I'm going to pray for those who would say, you know what, that's my prayer. I want to pray that today. But there are some here who you're Christians, but honestly, you're so far from God. But as I've spoke this morning, maybe the Lord's just nudging your heart and you're ready to come home. So this morning, I'm not going to make you stand up. I'm not going to ask you to walk down here to the front. But the Bible says that you need to acknowledge God. You need to let him know, hey, that's me. I'm ready to make that step today. And so I'm going to give you that opportunity right now with no one looking around. If you want to be included in that prayer, if you say, Andrew, you know, count me in when you pray that I'm ready to give my life to Jesus. I'm ready to come back to him. I want you just to lift your hands right now. Is there anybody here who prays that? Thank you. This is the greatest decision you could ever make. Thank you. Another hand here. Thank you, another hand. Thank you. The best decision that you could ever make. Let's pray together. If you don't know the words to say, I'll help you, or you can say your own words. Let's pray. Jesus, I thank you for paying for my sins. Thank you for going to the cross and dying for me. Today, Lord, I receive what you did for me. Today, I surrender the control of my life to you. Jesus, I'm asking you to be my Lord. I'm asking you to be number one in my life. All of my heart, all of my life, today I give you everything. Come on, why don't you tell him that? Lord, I give you everything. For the rest of us today, Lord, I pray that you would help our souls to find rest. Help us to discover your purpose. And then invest our time and our money into what you've called us to do. Lord, in the constant barrage that our culture screams out to get more, to do more, to buy more, I pray that you'd help us to remember this world is not my home. That you are preparing a place for us. Heaven is our home. Today we commit to live a life of purpose. Today we commit to put first things first. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said, amen. Why don't you clap your hands as you're standing this morning?
Thanks for listening to this message. We hope you've been encouraged by it. If you'd like more information about The Lifeway, please visit thelifeway.org.